Randall Cunningham on this one.
Well, this is what Cunningham does best. Watch for the great block by Keith Byers on Pepper Johnson. Cunningham goes upfield. Watch him. He'll point. Say, block him. Bam! Right there. Byers just KO'd. Here's the shot. 52, Johnson. Watch that shot by Byers. Extra yardage.
Well, I remember that one. November 25th, 1990, and Keith Byers and Pepper Johnson were college roommates and best friends, and Pepper Johnson's wife was watching with Keith Byers' wife at the time, and Keith Byers' wife was so mad at him for putting the block on Pepper Johnson that she didn't talk to him for 2 days.
Yeah.
And you reached out to Keith Byers this week, right?
I did. I talked to him Thursday night because the four teams left in the NFC are something out of like the late 80s, early 90s, Glenn. You've got the Eagles, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the 49ers. And,
yeah, that's right.
You know, you and I both remember an era where the NFC won 13 straight Super Bowls, I think, maybe 12. And 10 or 11 of them were by four teams, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Giants, and Washington. And so I reached out to Keith to talk to him about that block in particular and the old rivalries and kind of how this weekend is a throwback in some ways.
Nice. And he was, what a great player he was. This hour, by the way, sponsored by Meridian Bank, innovative business banking for entrepreneurial success. And we'll get to the callers in a second. I want to vent about two things, and Mike, feel free to either join in, disagree, or vent about something else.
Okay.
The first one, Josh Harris, Sixers majority owner. And I admire his charitable projects. I think he's great in that regard. That said, I have never been able to swallow that the owner of the Sixers also owns the New Jersey Devils. I hate that. Now, it comes out this week that he's the lead candidate to buy the Washington Commies from Dan Snyder. Are you kidding me? You can own your British soccer team fine. That's not a rival. Do whatever you want across the pond. But you can't be part of Philadelphia and own a rival club. Jeff Lurie isn't buying the Mets. John Middleton isn't buying the Celtics. Don't just be another rich guy gathering up assets. Be one of us. And I hate that Josh Harris is doing this. And that's okay.
All I would say, Glenn, is I don't really consider Josh Harris one of us to begin with, because he is dabbling in so many different franchises and wants to own so many different franchises. The Sixers in some ways, I think, are an afterthought to him. And it's been that way pretty much since he bought them. And, you know, I imagine the Commanders will be an afterthought to him, too, as long as they're making him money.
Hate it. All right. The second one's more serious. So I'm going to choose my words carefully here. It's about Ivan Provorov, and everybody knows what happened the other night. The Flyers hosted a Pride Night, an initiative really spearheaded by two members of the team, JVR and Scott Laughton, who said it was a very personal issue to them. And all the players were asked to do was wear a warm-up jersey with a rainbow on it in the pregame skate, and then they would auction those off for charity. And that was too much for Ivan Provorov. He couldn't bring himself to do that, citing his religious beliefs. He was not being asked to attend a gay wedding. He was being asked to wear a rainbow on a warm-up jersey as the Flyers, in an effort supported by all of his teammates, tried to show that anyone who wants to play the sport is invited. It was about inclusion. It's not about religion. It's not about politics. It's about, let's face it, the culture of hockey and other sports has not always been open and inviting, and that's what this was about. So instead, he just entirely upstaged the initiative, the You Can Play initiative. He blew up the effort. He ruined an effort. Well, I don't know. They said he didn't ruin it, but he marred an effort led by teammates, JVR and Laughton, leaders on the team. He was selfish. To my mind, he was bigoted, and he declined when asked just to be a good teammate for 10 minutes. Just be a teammate. He undermined the organization. The coach had to go out and answer for it. His teammates who worked hard to make this thing, who met with members of the community after the game, who did good work that they believe in, were submarined by Ivan Provorov. And shame on him. And that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I would add just two quick things. I think the teammate point you make is a good one, because this is something that became apparent, at least to me, and I think to people who have been around pro sports a while, and I don't mean to equate anything here, but during the Colin Kaepernick controversy, where the idea of supporting your teammate no matter what you disagreements you might have with that teammate is paramount. You know, look, I work at the Philadelphia Inquirer. I don't agree with every single editorial or opinion column that is published by the Inquirer, but I'm never going to say that publicly because I want to be a good teammate. You know, you're not going to know what I think we're doing well or what I think we're doing poorly because I work there and I'm not going to criticize people publicly. I think the same principle applied here with respect to Provorov. I would add the one other thing, though, is that in the course of the last several years, we've been encouraging athletes to speak their minds about things. And the only thing I would say in that regard is that if you encourage them to do that, you're going to get situations where athletes speak their minds and say things that you don't like, you disagree with, or that are just flat out dumb and wrong. And this, I think, to a certain degree, is a product of that.
Sure. And again, he is entitled to whatever beliefs he wants to have. It really wasn't a heavy lift. Mm-hmm. He really wasn't being asked to do much.
Right.
And as I said, listen, I think I support the effort. And I know how sports, particularly hockey, had a culture that really mm-hmm. wasn't welcoming
right.
for gay people. And it's gone. Hockey's made a real effort to do it. Particularly two of his teammates who led this thing, and he let them down, I thought, to a tremendous degree. So, all right.
Cool.
Let's get back to football. John and Maniunk. Hello, John. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking a little X and O's here. I'm not a football expert, but I've been hearing this week, I think Angelo was playing that nose tackle on the Giants. I don't think he played a couple of games earlier, but he said he could really push Kelsey around. He's probably got like 40 pounds on him. Do you think they're going to have Dickerson to help out, crash down on him on blocks, double team him?
I mean, look, I think the Eagles have the kind of offensive line that can handle pretty much anything opposing defensive line throws at them, as long as Lane is out there. You know, it's not a coincidence that, as Zach Berman referenced before, their record falls off a cliff when Lane is not in there. So whatever they have to do to handle the Giants along the defensive line, I think they're going to do. I think the Eagles have – part of the reason I'm so confident they're going to win is that they are better than the Giants significantly along the offensive and defensive lines.
Hey, have you guys heard anything on Avonte Maddox? I guess he's not playing today. Is he?
No, he's not playing.
Not playing.
Didn't practice this week. They never put him on injured reserve, which means they hope to get him back sometime. To me, best case scenario is you get to the Super Bowl and he's able to help you out. I don't know that we're going to see him before that. Let's talk to Lou in Westchester. Lou, I'm disconnected. Mike, okay. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I got disconnected.
No, I think Lou went away.
Lou got disconnected.
Yeah.
All right. I was afraid that I disappeared. All right. We'll try. Let's try.
You are real and here.
I'm with us. I'm real and I'm spectacular.
Yes, right.
Mark in the Northeast, you're on with Mike and Glenn.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Mark.
I wanted to talk about how everybody's saying that the Giants are, like, overrated because they beat Minnesota. But we all knew Minnesota was a fluke. Like, who went in the Minnesota game thinking we were going to lose? Like, really?
Well,
Do you mean
the Eagles in week two going into the Minnesota game?
Yeah, but who did you think we were going to lose?
Well, I think it was early enough in the season that there were still some questions that needed to be answered about the Eagles. And I think, honestly, Mark, I think that Vikings game in week two went a long way to getting people to thinking, oh my gosh, the Eagles really are a very good team this season. We thought they were going to be good. We didn't know they were going to be this good. And they dominated the Vikings that night in the first half.
But you know what's funny? It's like no matter how many games we win, they're always putting us like as the underdogs. But I love it, though, because that's what rallies us. That's what rallies
us. You know the Eagles are 7.5-point favorites.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No. Absolutely. But they still say that the Eagles are going to lose. Everybody's saying that no matter what the points are, it's because we're home. You know, they still say we're going to lose. What do you think people think? Oh, Eagles are flukes. Eagles are every time. As soon as we lost the game to Washington, first thing they said,
here's what
oh,
I
we
think.
Knew it.
We here's
knew
where
it.
I'm going to start in this. Mark, you got to find better friends. You got to hang around with a better crowd.
No. Check it out.
Because there is. Well, hold on.
I work in a barbershop.
And by the way, barbershops are where the best talk takes place.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
You
got
to find another barbershop. You got to move to a different barbershop, maybe different part of town, because while there are people who are pessimistic, and we're talking about Eagle fans, who think, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. We had the guy earlier call up, Lane Johnson's not going to play. Well, yes, he is. I've been heartened, Mike Sielski, today by we came in and said the town's really nervous. I feel like we've heard good confidence today.
Oh, I absolutely think we have. And Mark, thank you so much for the call. No, I think people... I've been kind of pleasantly surprised, not because I want the Eagles or Giants to win one way or another, but in that people were very reasonable about how they were looking at this game. There wasn't a lot of despair. There wasn't a lot of total overconfidence one way or another. People were like, yeah, Eagles should win. Let's go enjoy ourselves and watch a playoff game and, you know, get ready to watch our team in the NFC Championship game next week.
We are now, let me do the math here, 7 hours and something.
Something around there, yeah.
1 o'clock. What? 7 hours and 34 minutes from kickoffs.
Yep.
All right. Can't wait. When we come back, we'll grab a call or two, 215-592-9494. We'll give you our predictions, and we'll find out what we forgot to talk about with Kyle Quinn. Hey, for most business people, a meeting with their banker can be like a trip to the dentist. But talk to a Meridian customer, you'll hear a different story. Their business lenders come at things from your point of view, and they bring a ton of useful guidance and advice. But mostly, they're a genuinely fun group. I speak from personal experience. The word is getting out. If you'd like to take the stress out of your business banking, Meridian is the go-to bank. Check them out at meridianbanker.com.